Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you tonight. Appreciate you being here so that we can study God's Word together. This morning we began the last of our four principles, looking at living this life of principle. Last week we noticed principles from the Old Testament, and this week we've been noticing some principles from the New Testament. As we've been looking at this, we began in Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, where Paul talks about the fact, especially in verse 2, that we're to not be conformed to this world. And we talked about the fact that as Christians, we are to be different. We are to be set apart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul writes, "To come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." And so we're looking at this idea of the fact that as Christians, we go by a different set of rules. We do things differently because we follow God. And we've been talking about the idea that we need some principles to help us in living that type of life. You know, the Bible, in all situations, it doesn't always give you a do this and don't do this. There are a lot of things that we face that there's not a clear-cut statement on, hey, this is the way you should handle this, or this is not the way that you should handle it. And so these principles become important because they help to guide both our actions and our reactions to the different situations that we face in life. This morning we noticed a couple principles. We noticed, first of all, the Berean principle, which stated, know why you do what you do. And we talked about how the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and the reason being is that first, they were ready to accept, to at least hear what Paul had to say. And secondly, they tested what he said by God's standard. And then that brought us to our second principle, and that is the Peter principle, which stated that we need to get forgiveness and then we need to forgive ourselves. And then that brings us to our third and fourth that we want to notice tonight. Number three, we want to notice the rich fool principle. The rich fool principle. It's found in Luke chapter 12 and verses 16 through 21, which is where we find the parable of the rich fool. And the rich fool principle states, don't get hung up on the material things. Don't get hung up on the material things. In Luke 12, beginning in verse 16, then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Materialism, covetousness, greed, whatever term you want to use, the desire for more and more and the desire for that which is not mine to begin with is the root cause of so many problems in our society today. Theft, murder, adultery, enormous debt, embezzlement, the financial state of our nation, and on the list could go, that all traces back to this idea of materialism. And Christians are not immune to this either. So many find themselves trying to keep up with the Joneses. You heard that statement before? Well, here's the question that we need to ask. Are the Joneses going to heaven? Because, brethren, if they're not, then we need to stop keeping up with them. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? There is nothing wrong with having nice things. In fact, if we looked at our lives, I would say probably all of us could say that we have some nice things. And we're thankful for those blessings. But we have to keep those things in the proper perspective. We have to realize that ultimately those things don't really matter. That car, one day that car is going to be burned up. The furniture, the electronics, those are all gone. The house with all the fine things, that's going to be dissolved. And notice Peter's conclusion in this passage. Therefore, since all of these things are going to be dissolved, since all of these material things are only temporary, since all of these material things don't really matter in the long run, what does Peter say? He asks the question, how should you be living your life? What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? He says, realizing that the material stuff ultimately doesn't matter, where's your focus going to be? What's really important to you and to me? Because of my position as a preacher, I've had the opportunity to be with a lot of people as their lives are drawing to a close. And you know, in many of those situations that I found myself in, it's not about the stuff. It's about the people. It's about the memories. It's about those things. I've never had anyone, as I'm sitting there with them, as their life's drawing to a close, say to me, you know what, I wish I would have worked more so that I could have bought more stuff. But I have had them say, hey, will you grab that photo album right there? I want to show you some pictures of this trip that we took. Hey, will you grab my phone and let me pull up some pictures of the grandkids that someone sent me here recently? You see, those connections are the things that matter. It's not about the material things, brethren. And so we don't need to get caught up on those things. Notice the words that Jesus spoke right before he started this parable. You back up just one verse to verse 15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Jesus says, your life is not measured by stuff. Your life does not consist of what you have. It consists of who you are, and more importantly, whose you are. If you don't go home with anything else tonight, please go home with that one statement. Your life is not about the stuff that you have. It's about who you are, and it's about whose you are. Because, brethren, when this life comes to a close, whether it's our death or whether it's Christ's return, that's all that's going to matter. That's all that we'll care about. Whether or not we've lived faithfully to Him. The rich fool principle, number three, don't get hung up on the material things. Fourth and finally, let's notice the Paul principle. And the Paul principle is very easily stated, never, ever give up. Never, ever give up. Paul's a great example of someone who never gave up, right? I mean, he suffered a lot. He had ample reasons to quit. If anyone ever had the ability to say, you know what, I think I've had enough, it would have been Paul. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and notice verses 23 through 28. He says, as a minister of Christ, I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. That's not talking about stripes on a shirt, brother. That's talking about the lashing of a whip. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. None of us have suffered anywhere close to that list that Paul just gave. I'm not saying that we haven't maybe suffered some, but we're not anywhere close to that list that Paul just gave. Brethren, his dedication never wavered. He never quit. He continued to push forward despite all that happened. So we think about this principle that to never ever give up. We see it in Philippians 3 verses 12 through 14. As Paul writes the church at Philippi, you know one of the key concepts in the book of Philippians? Joy. You know where Paul wrote the book of Philippians from? Prison. Think about that for a moment. Joy, prison. We normally don't put those two together, right? Now, I mean, if you were asked, hey, joy and prison, do those two go together? You and I would say, well, they don't go together. I think maybe the reason in our minds they don't go together is because we've got the wrong definition of joy. Paul's joy was not found in his physical circumstances. His joy was found in that he was serving God and that he was serving Christ. And because of that, he was never ever going to give up. He said, not that I've already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I forget about those things that are behind and I press forward to that which is ahead. I don't give up. Did Paul have a past? Shake your heads like this. A few of you did. Y'all still with me? Okay. Paul had a past, right? I mean, Paul persecuted Christians. He hauled Christians off to their death. When he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, y'all, he was on his way all the way to Damascus, traveling this long distance just to find Christians, to haul them all the way back to Jerusalem to have them put to death. He had a past behind him. He refers to himself as the chief of all sinners. He talks about the fact that that's because he persecuted the church. He had a past, but Paul says, I'm not letting that past affect my present, because my presence was going to decide my future. Going back to the Peter principle, get forgiven then forgetful. That's what Paul had to do. And brethren, that's what we need to do. We can't let our past affect our present, because it's our presence that's going to decide our future. And brethren, we can't give up. Because of Paul's persistence, as his life drew to a close, he could make this statement. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. You've heard the old saying, I'm sure, quitters never win, and winners never quit. Brethren, that applies to us spiritually. Heaven does not await those who drop out, who falter along the way, who fall and refuse to get back up. It awaits those who push on. It awaits those who endure despite the difficulties. It awaits those who move forward no matter what Satan throws in their path. The difference between those who will make it to heaven and those who will not is this. When Satan places a mountain in our way, the unfaithful sees an unmovable object. But the faithful child of God looks and says, well, that's just an uphill climb. That has to be our attitude. What's it going to be? Will you give up or will you go up? The Paul principle, never, ever give up. Four principles. Added to our four last week, we've now got eight that I truly believe will help us in this life and will help us to the life to come. What about you this evening? Have you studied like the Bereans and know that you need forgiveness like Peter? Are you going to allow the things of this world to get in your way? Are you going to move forward, never giving up? If you're not a Christian, friend, we would encourage you to take those steps tonight. Having your sins washed away, putting Christ on in baptism. Maybe you've done that, but you've been unfaithful. Don't give up. Heaven awaits. Let's push together. We've got to live a life separated from the world. Friend, live a life of principle. So together we stand and sing.